19:20-26. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray that they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I am in them and you are in me so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved me just as you loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me where I am. Then they can see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, even the world didn't know you, but I've known you, and these believers know that you sent me. I've made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that you, your love for me will be in them and I myself will be in them. This is the word of God.
Be to God. So, when I was little, if you'd asked me what was motherhood was all about, I'd have had an easy answer for you. I would have come up with it right away. I would have said vacuuming. Because my mom did a bunch of it. Man, she did a lot of vacuuming, you know. She did a lot of vacuuming. She did a lot of cleaning. She did a lot of scrubbing. She did a lot of ironing. I mean, it was kind of a different time in those days. But you know, it was important to her. It was important to her because for her, all those things that she did were a little bit like what we were talking about last week. It was a little bit about her making that little patch of here, that house, heaven, for her kids and for her husband. She wanted to make it as perfect as she could. So she did a lot of vacuuming. I remember, man, when I was little, she had this blue Eureka canister vacuum, you know, and she would go throughout the house, and I would have my blanket, and I would crawl along behind the vacuum because the warm air came out, you know, and it was really awesome. So I'd sit there with my blanket, and just like she would go around, and I'd drag myself from room to room with her. And it had an impact on me to see her do those things. It really did. I mean, it's not unusual now to see for Nancy to come home, you know, and the vacuum is running. I'm laying down behind it with my vacuum, with my little blanket. I know mothers have an incredible influence on children. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, he once said that in relation to our discipleship with Jesus, our relationship of discipleship with Jesus, that it was not hero worship, but intimacy with Christ. Our discipleship relationship was intimacy with Christ. And you see people go through that kind of progression in their journey of faith. Often they start off with a curiosity about Jesus, and then they move to an understanding and an admiration for Jesus. And then they move to make this switch, you know, where they really want to have that sort of personal connection with Jesus. They want to have Jesus really in their lives, influencing their lives. They want their hearts to beat as one with Jesus. And that heart beating as one is the foundation of discipleship. Now, that foundation of discipleship that comes from that kind of intimacy, I think that's a natural thing between mothers and their children. Mothers disciple their children naturally because their hearts beat as one. And I don't just mean that figuratively. I mean it literally. There are studies that show that a mother, when she looks into the eyes of her baby, that baby's heart begins to synchronize with the mother's heart. Hearts begin to beat as one. Mothers have an incredible influence on their children. in the way that they can disciple their children, in the same way that Jesus discipled his followers. As their hearts beat as one with Jesus. Now you'll notice when you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus never set himself up like in a permanent place, like in a temple or in a shrine or under a tree somewhere and just waiting for people to come to him where he could dispense philosophy. Jesus never did that. Jesus was always on the move. He was always going places. And those people who wanted to be discipled by Jesus, they had to catch up with him. They had to keep up with him. But on the way, on the move, they heard what he had to say, but more importantly, they watched the way he interacted with people. They watched the way he cared for people, and they began to understand what was important to Jesus. And then it became important to them, and their hearts began to beat as one. Well, mothers do the same thing, I think. Mothers are always moving. They're always doing something, especially if there's more than one child in the family. But along that way, along that movement, whatever that mother is doing, those children are watching. They're listening. They're hearing everything that goes on, but they're also watching to see how those mothers interact with other people, how they care for people, and they're seeing what's important to that mother. And here's the deal. Mothers, when what's important to you is what's important to Jesus, when your heart beats as one with Jesus' heart, those little ones whose hearts beat with yours are naturally in sync with that Savior. What's important to you is what's important to Jesus. It's a good chance those things are going to be important to your children. Now, lots of things were important to Jesus. Whole big long list. I'm sure you could come up with. Excuse me. But one big thing that was important to Jesus was love. It's an overarching thing that's really important to Jesus, right? And I think there were three specific kinds of love that Jesus discipled for his people that really come naturally to mothers. The first kind of love is a compassionate love that Jesus had. Compassionate love for the outcast, for the ones who are not in with the in crowd. Those people that followed Jesus, those followers of his, those people whose hearts beat as one with Jesus, they saw him do this several times, reach out to those people who were on the outside, right? They saw him, for instance, go across a town square once with everybody watching and head right for a toll booth where they collected taxes on people going down the road. Now, in those days, in those places in Judea, I mean, tax collectors were outcasts. They were hated because all the taxes that they collected from those people around them, all the tolls that they collected from their fellow Jews, went to the Romans, the hated Roman enemy, because they were under occupation at the time. So any tax collector was like a colluder with the enemy. They were outcast. But Jesus, he goes right across this town square, goes right across to this toll booth where a tax collector named Matthew is. And he invites this tax collector to become part of his group, to become part of him. And you can imagine Jesus' followers, the ones that are already there, probably like this, you know. Oh, mothers, you know that, right? Where the kid's like, oh no. But yeah. He brought them in. He brought this man, Matthew, into his group, this outcast. And he not only said, yeah, come into my group, but he crossed those boundaries. He said, you know what? I'm going to your house. And they went to Matthew's house, and they shared fellowship together, which in those days was the most intimate sign of friendship that you could do. And then Jesus even went beyond that. He invited all of Matthew's outcast, tax collector friends to join him. And then when the Pharisees, the people who were in the in crowd, came to condemn them, Jesus stood up for his outcast friends. Discipling for his people, what was important to him. That these people, no matter what their social status, they deserved honor and respect simply because they were made in the image of God. And because they're made in the image of God, they're eligible for God's redemption, for his salvation, for the change that God can bring in a person. He discipled them and showed that that was important to him. Mothers, I think, have a natural tendency to want to do that, to mother the one who's on the outside, the one who's outcast, that kid on the playground that nobody will pay attention to. Mothers want to go to that one, don't they? Don't they? And it's a beautiful thing when mothers disciple that to their children. It's hard these days, though, you know. We have a culture right now that, unfortunately, you know, humiliation and insult and degradation and those kinds of things is part of our entertainment package, right? It's part of comedy. It's part of our politics. Kids are just surrounded by that kind of mean-spirited attitude that's everywhere. But mothers, I think, at their best, stand against that and try to keep that out of the culture of the home, to disciple for their children that love of Jesus that he had, that compassion for the outcasts. So that's one kind of love that Jesus really discipled for his people. Another kind was a love of courage, a love that was full of courage, that would tell the truth even when it was hard and would do the hard things. One time, Jesus was with his disciples, the people whose heart beat as one with him. And those Pharisees, the religious leaders, they dragged in a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they throw the woman down in front of Jesus, and then they demand that Jesus condemn her, which is what the law, the religious law, required that he do. But Jesus, instead, he turned it around on those accusers, didn't he? He said, yeah, anyone out there who has not sinned, you go ahead and you toss the first stone at that woman and I won't stand in your way. Of course, on reflection, they all understood that they had all sinned. And so that crowd melted away. Jesus' grace had been offered to that woman. But listen, he didn't stop there. He told her the hard truth about her life. He said, you've been given this grace. You've been saved by this grace from the punishment that you deserved. And she did deserve it by the law. And now you've been saved by that grace. You have an obligation. You have an obligation to go and sin no more. Turn your life around, to turn back from this destructive behavior, to stop sinning against God. He laid out that truth for her, the hard truth of what she needed to do. Jesus was grace, but Jesus was truth. Both. Both were important. I knew a mother once who had the hardest decision, I think, that any mother ever had to make. Her son had gotten involved in the party scene and had become into drugs and had really become addicted to drugs. He was a really talented artist. This mother and the father, they tried everything they could to kind of get him out of that lifestyle, to kind of knock him out of that lifestyle, but nothing worked. He kept going back. And finally, that mother had to make the hardest decision I think a mother ever could make. One night, that boy came home to find that the doors were locked. that the locks were changed and that his suitcases were on the stoop with the message that he no longer could come there. That their support was gone. That they would no longer give him any money until he went to rehab, until he turned his life around. Can you imagine the heartbreak of that mother to have to tell her little boy, you no longer have a home here? But that's the truth that needed to be said. And guess what? It saved his life. The truth that needed to be told, the hard thing that needed to be done, saved his life. She acted and she discipled that child in the value of grace and truth. Mothers at their best, they do that. So Jesus was all about compassion for the outcast. He's all about telling the truth and love, the love and the truth and the grace together. But he was also about a love that is sacrificial. Sacrificial. And centered on God. Those people that followed Jesus, whose hearts beat as one with Jesus, they saw him over and over again. What did they see? They saw him go and pray to meet every day with his Father. Every day with his Father in heaven. They saw him pray. They saw him day after day stand for God against the tide of the culture. And finally, they saw him walk into Jerusalem, didn't they? And they saw him go to that cross for their sake. For your sake and for my sake. Jesus loved sacrificially. And so do mothers. So do mothers at their best. When in the midst of all that busyness, in the midst of all that harriedness and the hassle, that they pray with their children. To never let a problem go by. Or a joy go by that isn't lifted up in prayer with children? Oh, come on. It's the most important thing. To hold the line on the stuff that they watch and the games that they play. Pay attention to what goes into their minds. And to make that sacrifice. How do we honor the parents that are here today? How much we should be honoring the parents that are here today that make the sacrifice to get up in the morning on a Sunday morning when it would be so easy to turn on the TV and put the kids in front of it and go back to bed, but instead they get dressed and they come here. And grandparents too, who do this, grandmothers who do this in this church. Oh my goodness, what a gift that is. Make that sacrifice. So that they see what's important to you and that what's important to you is Jesus. Makes a difference. Oh, makes a difference in their lives. Mothers, you just have such an incredible influence on all of us. You know, I joked before that my mother was all about vacuuming, and she was. And she was into it. But that's not all I saw her do, you know. I saw her love with such compassion when my dad died, and she was left with 5 little boys to raise. I saw her love with courage. When I went through a time in my life where I was kind of emotionally and spiritually getting beat up, heroically, she intervened in my life. It's our love with sacrificial love when she took care of her mother in her mother's last years. But most of all, and I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. I remember my mother walking with her hand in hand and looking up and seeing the cross of Christ on the steeple as we walked to church together. My heart beating with her heart. Her heart beating with Jesus' heart. It changed me. Mothers, grandmothers, you have such a powerful influence on those children. Because your hearts beat as one. And when hearts beat as one, that's just a recipe for discipleship. Imagine the great good you can do as you disciple your children in the kind of love that Jesus had. That love of compassion for the outcast. That love that is courageous, that is full of grace and full of truth. That love that is sacrificial. That love that says, Jesus is important to me. Imagine the difference we all can make, really, as hearts, our hearts, and Jesus' hearts, and those children's hearts all beat as one. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for the way that you come into our lives, the way that you enliven our spirits and our hearts, the way that you give us those people in our lives with whom our hearts can beat. We just pray, oh God, that you make everyone in this room, every one of us, oh God, that you help our hearts beat with yours, that those around us may be influenced by your spirit, brought to the truth of who you are. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen.